You are listening to the co-production podcast brought to you by Cineuropa and Eurimage. I am Domenico Laporta and I'm the editor of Cineuropa, your number one resource for European industry content published daily in four languages. Cineuropa is supported by Creative Europe and you can always access our content for free at cineuropa.org. Today, we are discussing the co-production of Captain Volkonogov Has Escaped, directed by Natalia Mekulova and Alexei Chupov. The film is a co-production between Russia, Estonia, and France. I'm welcoming the three co-producers of the film. Can I ask you to introduce yourself and your production company, starting with you, Nadia? You are representing Place of Power in Russia.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for having us on this podcast. I'm actually representing both of Russian companies because it's a four-party co-production. I'm representing Place of Power, which is quite a new outlet by Valery Fedorovich and Evgeny Nikishov, two producers who are known in Russia for being the executives of TV3 and 123 production. But in last year, they opened their own outlet to focus on director-driven titles with international potentials and specifically for international co-productions. And on the other hand, there is a Look Film, great Russian company, very established on our territories and both internationally, who's producing hundreds of hours of TV content per year. And it's also found with Boris Khlebnikov, who is a well-known director, award-winning director. And I'm personally dealing with international side of business with co-productions and sales.
Okay, thank you. Also with us today, we have Catherine from the production company Homeless Bob Production in Estonia.
Hello, everyone. Yes, Homeless Bob was created in 2006, already like back then. Our main focus and kind of like only focus is to work with very author-driven films. Our first film was together with Veiko Unhu, and it won in Venice in 2007. It was Autumn Ball. And after that, we've been doing a lot of collaborations, co-productions with a lot of countries. And some years ago, we started this collaborating as minority co-producers. So we've done Natasha's and Lyosha's previous film, and now this Volkonogov.
Thank you, Catherine. And finally, we have the pleasure to welcome Charles from Kinovista in France.
Hello. Thank you, Domenico, for having us today for Volkonogov. I'm participating in this co-production through Kinovista, which is a company I started in 2007, which was initially a distribution company. We worked a lot with European films and projects. And in the last 3 years, we started doing production. We started with a film called Lieta. For international audience, it's called Leto by Kirill Serebrennikov, which was in competition in Cannes. And then we had another film also from Russia called Factory, directed by Yuri Bykov. And Volkonogov is our third Russian co-production. And we are very happy to participate in this project. And Kinovista is now developing more actively some production projects, both with Russia, but also with other European countries. And we also are starting a few series projects. So 2022 is going to be full of surprises for us and hopefully for our audiences.
Thank you, Sean. So the film is currently in its festival run. It started in Venice Film Festival, where it was part of the competition. And it very recently, last weekend, won the Grand Prix at Les Arcs Film Festival. Nadia, maybe you can pitch us the story a little bit, because not many people have seen the film yet. So we don't want to spoil the pleasure for them.
Absolutely. The way that Natasha and Lyosha define the genre, it's a retro-utopia, but it's actually a fast-paced thriller / drama set in symbolic 1938 Soviet Union. about Captain Volkanogov, Fyodor Volkanogov, who is a prominent law enforcer, you know, serving for NKVD, the law enforcement agency. And at some point, his colleagues are started to be persecuted. And once he understands that he will be the next one, and he goes on a run, followed by his ex-colleagues. And one night he gets an insight that he has only 24 hours to repent. Otherwise, he's going to basically burn in hell. So to avoid the internal torments, he has to find the person who will sincerely forgive him. So basically, the whole story is his marathon, a pre-death marathon for forgiveness. And the big question, is it possible to find one for the person with such a background?
Thank you, Nadia. You're the first Russian producer we welcome on the co-production podcast. So it's very interesting for us to understand how you co-produce with Russia. So Chal, you mentioned that you had several co-productions with Russia before. And Nadia, you told me before that you are representing two production company, especially for international relationship. It makes things easier. Can you tell us how the project started, how you gathered the first partners on the project?
Well, I'm working with Place of Power, and I just wanted to mention, of course, Lookfilm, you know, like for them to be audio present here, because they've physically produced the film. They were the production company of the film. And the way it started, actually, it's the first co-production baby for Valery Fedorovich and Evgeny Nikishov, because they were participating in other films previously financially, but previously, they didn't have a company to put together official co-production. So it's our first experience, and I would have to say extremely successful. And I'm very grateful for Katrin and Charles, because I think if we look at the timeline, it was a very quick decision and a very fast-paced work and decision-making and applications. So I've actually joined the company after Berlin 2019. And immediately learned that there is the script by Natasha and Lyosha, with whom Valery Fedorovich and Evgeny Nikishov previously worked for the series Call Center, which was also very successful locally. And also Natasha and Lyosha wrote Gogol, because they are both directors and scriptwriters, and they produced Gogol together with Valery and Zhenya. So I've had a script. I've looked at the background of directors, because they previously were in Orizzonte in Venice, you know, with The Man Who Surprised Everyone. So the idea was to apply to Venice gap financing market, because on the timelines, it was his idea to produce in fall of 2019. We've decided it will put on the map the title and to find the partners. And Katrin naturally joined, of course, because they worked already together with Natasha and Lyosha. And Mart Taniel was, of course, the DOP of the film. They worked with directors before, and he was an obvious choice. And he was also working on the script together with the directors. He's, you know, has a title of in collaboration with. So we've been talking with Katrin very quickly about what can be done together. And the decision was made to make most of the post-production in Estonia and partial VFX. And we approached Charles because I've heard, of course, I've met Charles before in person, and I've heard about very successful cases of Russian producers of collaboration with Charles. And in my understanding, it was also a very quick decision when Charles came on board. And ultimately, the editing was done in France and with French editor. So that was a quick run, and we've submitted in October for Arrimage, and had a quick decision, obviously, and we're shooting in fall of 2019. It was not an easy time because it was COVID was out there, and you know, we had a lot of restrictions. We were losing locations along the way and had to find the new ones. So it was also the marathon, I would have to say. The movie was shot in St. Petersburg in a very cold climate, of course. So I think it was a great accomplishment of the production team to do it on time, in a forecasted shooting days, you know, in the amount of shooting days. And we're very grateful for everybody involved.
And what is the final budget of the film?
In euro, 1,073,000.
700. 1,700,000.
And the contribution of Eurimage is 289,000, which is quite consequent for this type of budget. Catherine, so Nadia just mentioned that the post-production was made in Estonia. Can you tell us what kind of source of financing you have access to in your country?
It wasn't only the post-production, it was Estonian part of was DOP, CAFER, and then sound design and a part of VFX. In Estonia, there are like three types of funding plus some regional funds. For this case, we used two funds, which are the state funding. It's Estonian Film Institute and Cultural Endowment. And Estonian Film Institute, the way Estonian money works, it's very fast. The decisions are very fast. The thing is that the rounds are not that often in Estonian Film Foundation. So it was, but luckily somehow, like Nadia called me, then the round was coming. So I think even if we decided that we want to make it as a co-production anyway, like whatever happens with the money, I think that the collaboration between Martinial and the directors, it was already like written somehow. So some kind of collaboration was kind of like decided, but it was really, for me, it was all this financing it and production for this film. While COVID was still a bit of like huge unknown territory in a way, so it felt a bit crazy the way it was planned, and I thought that something will happen, and so it needs to be postponed. But somehow it was carried out as planned. And also the financing started to miraculously give positive feedbacks, or kind of like the Estonian financing. I think this was the first one from outside, right, that was confirmed, is the Estonian Film Institute.
I believe it was kind of like simultaneous with the Russian Minister of Culture. Yes, but
yes. And then Estonian Film Institute, and then Cultural Endowment, which Estonian Film Institute, I think it was 120,000, and Cultural Endowment, it was 60,000, 150,000 and 60,000. I think this was there.
Okay, thank you. And what about you, Charles, in France, when you are entering a kind of a tripartite co-production like that with countries like Estonia and Russia, what are the funds you have access to?
Well, in France, there are not so many funds that you have access to. You have television pre-sales that you can tap into, like Arte or Canal Plus would be a pre-sale. Arte could come in as a co-producer with a pre-buying of a license, broadcasting license. We didn't have time on this project to put together the Arte collaboration. So we went to Cinéma du Monde. It's a commission that helps foreign cinema that is not in originally in French language and has a French co-producer aboard, which is not even obligatory. You can even apply if you don't have a French co-producer aboard, which is really quite interesting and incredible. So that's what we applied to, and we didn't get the first round of production support, probably because the script... the quality of the script is really, really fantastic. Everybody was agreeing on that. But the ambition was really, really high. And the commission, I think, had a hard time believing that we could deliver something with this level of ambition for such a low budget, which is a high budget in general for a Russian independent art house film, but still a low budget for the ambition that we had. But when they saw the first cut that we had, they saw that this assembly, this team could deliver something really, really incredible. And we did get the support for post-production from the Cinéma du Monde. So that's the public funding we got on the side of France. The rest is equity. And I just wanted also to mention the quality of this co-production and the smoothness of it and the pleasure it was to work both with Nadia and with Catherine and, of course, with Valérie and Evgeny, because things went extremely fast, as Nadia mentioned earlier. So I had heard of the script from people working with Valérie and Evgeny. I had not read it yet until Nadia sent it to me. So that was August 2020. We came aboard within, I think, a week. Nadia was a week or 10 days. We made the decision. We found a configuration that would work for everyone. We came aboard. The shooting started like a couple months later after we had a few exchanges on the script on which everybody was completely aligned, which is really something also very nice and pleasant when everybody really comes together with the same vision. And the shooting was really very well mastered by our Russian co-producers because it was in the middle of the COVID, as Nadia mentioned, with a lot of difficulties due to location changing, some people getting sick on the set and so on. But they mastered that. It went really smoothly. And then we did part of the post-production was done with Catherine in Estonia and her team. And the editing itself was done here in Paris at our office with François, so we really had a dream assembly of all those talents coming from all those three different countries. And it is a financial co-production, but it's also a very creative co-production. And the result is that we were after only 1 year after the decision of going together, we were in Venice presenting the film in competition. So. And that was a pretty swift and successful ride over a year, despite all the difficulties. And I really wanted to take this opportunity to thank the my co-producers, because it's one in a lifetime that you go that fast and that nicely and that successfully.
And just to mention, like it was really somehow it needed also some extra. Push to have it like going as nicely and smoothly, because actually we were in the COVID, and especially for the post-production it made things more difficult, because when we started making sound or color grading, we realized that the directors cannot actually travel and people cannot travel, so the borders were closed. And it actually started even earlier, like already, like while choosing the locations and going to shoot, Russian side did miracles just to have the DOP in the country for the shooting. So it was quite a strange time, and I'm starting to already like forget about it that. We when we started planning the sound, then we were discussing like how to do it when people cannot travel, even by that time when we are doing the sound post. And I was so like, oh, but by that time everything is going to be fine. And like we will manage, and we couldn't travel. So it lasted, and it was the second. For the sound post, I think so. It everything needed to be managed somehow so that people are actually in different countries. It was a bit difficult, but it also was in the end miraculously happening. So that the sound was done, like the sound designer was working on his own, not meeting the directors as he would. Usually meet them or like work together in the same room.
Yes, directors never have done obviously that kind of post, you know, and Natasha and Lyosha are perfectionists. And of course, like all this, we were trying to have a plan. And of course, COVID spared us the luxury of having one, because it was a constant change. And we had to adapt to the circumstances when we found out that Matthias Ray, you know, who is a sound designer, unfortunately couldn't physically come to Moscow. So the whole plan of finishing in the studio, and he's done an amazing job. We gave part of the like Russian language sound works to Fly Studio. And he was doing this such a seamless cooperation with them, you know, super fast. They found a common language and how to do things technically and creatively. And then we found out that we're in Venice. So our timeline for posts suddenly became three times shorter than we've, not that we've planned, but we thought under circumstances that, you know, of course we had more time. And the girls on the ground in Russia, you know, were actually assembling all the elements of post-production in one. And it was sometimes an extreme sport, I have to say, but ultimately it was all about the dialogue and finding right way. And that's why I want to thank them all, because just as Katrine said, at some point we're thinking that it's impossible to do it under the timeline. But, you know, there was obviously no such thing for us, and it all happened. So thank you, everybody.
That's a nice way to wrap this up. This episode concludes the first season of the Co-Production Podcast. 24 episodes were published in 2021, and we will be back in 2022 for a second season, again collaborating with Eurimage. If you don't want to miss it, subscribe to the Co-Production Podcast on Apple Music, Spotify, Google, on your or your favorite podcast platform. All episodes are available on cineropa.org as well. So, Nadia, Katrine, and Charles, thank you so much for being the guests, accepting to be the guest of the Co-Production Podcast today. At Cineropa, we are looking forward to the release of Captain Volkonogov Has Escaped. Keep making films together, hopefully, and we will keep watching it. Thank you.